Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, coming to you live for the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio, Rocket Mortgage. With you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Tuesday around the country. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Big night, Teak.
It is.
Big
for
night.
Your Knicks.
Big night.
I see you representing.
Always representing. Always representing. Not just a big night for the Knicks. Big night potentially for the Cavs. Big night potentially for the Suns. Big night potentially for the Bulls and for the Hawks. We've got the Western Conference Game 1 start tonight. Finals tonight. Yeah, this is, you know, the one thing about Zion, all right, and obviously this is a huge night, huge night. I mean, just let me lay this out for you, because I do think that a lot of the traction, most of the traction, and again, 14% chance it happens, but most of the national traction has been about what happens if the Knicks get Zion. Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, if the Knicks get Zion Williamson, you could have a core in a couple of months of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving slash Kemba, Zion, Kevin Knox, Mitchell Robinson, or you can take Zion Williamson and trade him and entice the Pelicans to, you know, trade Anthony Davis for Zion, or trade for Zion for AD, and suddenly you have a core of Durant and Kyrie and Anthony Davis, and you go from a doormat to an automatic championship contender. If the Cavaliers win, all right, they've got a 14% chance as well. They've got Colin Sexton, who's really good. He's going to become more and more efficient. Great. I think they should trade Kevin Love, get a young asset back, and go from there. If the Suns win, and they've got a 14% chance as well, you've got Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Zion, Josh Jackson, Mikal Bridges, TJ Warren.
Yeah, you got a mini process going on over there.
This is a transformational night in
be.
The NBA.
But who needs it most is the question. Who needs it most at number one overall to get Zion Williams? And it's an interesting question that you pose as an aside. If you somehow, which one of these teams that are 14%, and you got to assume it's one of those teams.
No, you don't. You don't.
But it couldn't. It could be. It could Memphis. It's 6%.
Sure.
You know, it could be anybody.
The Hawks are 10. The Hawks are 2 percentage points behind those who have the most chance.
Whoever gets that pick. It's so interesting to think about potentially trading
for 4.5 points.
Yeah, exactly. For Anthony Davis.
Uh-huh.
My gut, just from snap judgment, would be no. I wouldn't trade for Anthony Davis. I wouldn't, mainly because of the injuries, mainly because there's something about a fresh body.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it doesn't always work that way, but you know what I mean. Experience matters. Anthony Davis has a pedigree, but my gut, and it's interesting because I think we're going to do a poll question on this. My gut is that most people are going to say, I want to keep Zion if you have the number one overall pick. But, you know, back to your point about all these teams that are looking for this transformational moment. Don't we do this every year, though?
Not like this.
Don't we say every year you're going to get the number one overall pick and it's going to be the one transformational guy in this draft?
No.
You
know that you're answering your own question. Have we ever spoken about a college prospect like we have about Zion Williamson since you and I started doing the show 6 years ago? I know the answer is no.
Probably
There's
not.
No way.
Probably not.
Probably
yeah.
not.
No, probably
not.
Not
even close.
But Zion, I mean, look, Zion we know is a stud. He's physically like man-child. He reminds us of LeBron James, even though he doesn't look old. When LeBron was 18, he looked like he was 27.
Yes.
Right? Zion actually has a youthful look about him, but he's got the body of a grizzled veteran, which is enticing and it's exciting, but he still has so much to learn in his game. Whereas, you know, the prospect of LeBron being number one overall pick, you knew that he was coming in right away and he was going to be a baller. Zion, I think he's got to grow a little bit in his game. Mainly because it's all dunks, right? I know he's got a jump shot. He's going to have a broken shot. Mm-hmm. It's not ugly. We said this many times throughout the year. you see him shoot three-pointers. It's not like, ugh, that's scary, right? He's got all the mechanics, but he's still got to learn how to play with men on a faster-paced level and in a bigger stage. So there's some growth that needs to happen there, but I feel like every year. Every year, there's somebody.
Who was it last year that
makes us feel like this is going to be a transformative draft? And it very rarely happens.
What happened to Tiki?
I'm just telling you, BT.
By the way, I like the Captain Crunch shirt.
Yeah, you're right.
Baby Captain Crunch. Oh, Baby Captain Crunch.
Right, the baby.
Good cereal right there.
Great cereal.
It's almost like you're drinking sugar.
You're right.
Once you actually eat the cereal and get to the milk.
You're right.
But are you nuts? What are you even wasting our time on this
because
for?
Because I feel like this happens every year.
Well, then name the guys that we discussed 2 years with the ago, energy two about years Zion ago, Williamson.
It was Lonzo Ball, right? Maybe it was.
Not on this show. We said he shouldn't even go first overall.
Markelle Fultz. Ben Simmons. Was talked about.
We didn't know about these guys. Like Zion's a different energy. Come on, that's not even close.
I agree, BT. But I'm just saying, every year it's somebody. Andrew Wiggins was like this.
No, he wasn't like this. You're losing your mind, man. I mean, let me clarify. I'm not saying that there haven't been prospects where we've devoted time to, of course. And there's outside of the Bennett draft. I mean, really, every draft yields a prospect.
Number two was good in that draft, by the way. Victor Oladipo.
Oladipo is very good. Hopefully he comes back healthy, no question. Mm-hmm. Every draft, Paul George went 10th overall. Listen, we know the inexact science, the nuance of the draft. I understand all that. And every year we latch on to a name, whether it's a polarizing figure like Lonzo Ball, for different reasons, partly because of LeVar, partly because of his handle and his court vision when he was playing at UCLA.
He was interesting.
Totally interesting, for sure.
Intriguing, I guess, is more the word, because probably not interesting. Intriguing.
But we also knew he wasn't going first overall. We said it on the show. You and I both said we would not take him first overall.
But every year.
Are you saying that about Zion?
But every year there is a prospect that we talk about being this guy can be the difference maker. It was DeAndre Ayton last year.
We didn't know much about DeAndre. We met him. We watched him play in college. We watched him bomb against Buffalo in the Big Dance.
Good point.
Did we really talk about DeAndre Ayton? Why am I even asking this question? You know the answer.
Because every year, BT, some kid gets drafted, and it's the difference maker for an organization.
Not like this,
I'm just
man.
Telling you that
you
we don't know.
You can tell me all you want. It's not even close.
We don't know. Is Zion have a greater probability of being that savior for some organization?
Uh-huh.
I'll give it yes. But I feel like every year we get to this point where we start gassing it up. We start gassing up the – we don't know. This happens in every draft. Well, there's – every year it happens in MLB. Whoever gets drafted number one, we don't even know, really. And more likely than not, they're in the minors for 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. We don't even waste time on it. You don't waste
time
on
it. Except like if it's a Strasburg
type.
The NFL,
it happens every year, right? Whether it's a quarterback or a lineman. Fisher. Fisher.
And those guys.
And Locke.
And Jokel.
Yep, Jokel, exactly.
The boring draft of 2013, 2014, whatever, 2014.
Right? Every year, it's these guys that get drafted right at the top, and we get all hyped up about them.
We didn't get hyped up about those guys. We almost took a nap when they were getting ready to get drafted.
And then they turn into being either average players or not exactly what we thought. I don't want to overgas Zion Williamson.
Here's where I think you and I are fracturing into a different direction. I agree with that part of the premise entirely. We don't know, while he doesn't resemble, I'm going to throw a couple of names at you here. It's a very different skill set. He could be Brad Daugherty. Obviously, Brad Daugherty was a 7-footer. Again, not the actual comparison basketball skill set to basketball skill set. Brad Daugherty was a good player. Brad Daugherty was an all-star. Brad Daugherty wasn't a transformational player like Ewing or Robinson. So is he going to be
called NASCAR, right?
Yes, NASCAR. Yeah, it's true.
It's kind of awesome.
It is pretty wild. Is he going to be Elton Brand, or is talking about Zion, or is he going to have the impact of a Brad Daugherty, or is he going to be Alonzo Mourning or Ewing or a healthy Larry Johnson? That's up for debate, and I'm all down. I mean, we could have that conversation all day, which I'm sure we will. What I can't waste time debating on is the amount of intrigue with Williamson compared to anybody else that's come across our radar since we started doing the show. He's not even close.
My point is, it's every year.
No, and my point is, it's not.
It is, BT.
Hold on. Can I take a 20-second time out?
Greg Oden was this
Greg
guy.
Oden, please. Forget about Greg Oden. D-Cell, Samter, could you please weigh in? You guys watch the show Sometimes they actually listen to
I know,
the show.
Right? I'm not even talking about our show. I'm just talking about the basketball world. The basketball.
Andrew Wiggins was talked
about since he was a sophomore in high school.
Not with this.
Right?
Look, I'll temper it, but I won't.
I'm going to temper, but not completely disagree.
Oh,
because
of course you're not.
I don't think that we have talked about anybody like Zion since LeBron. However, in the span since LeBron, we have talked a ton about some of these guys. Greg Oden was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was in high school. So was Andrew Wiggins. Blake Griffin, while he hasn't fully panned out, when he was coming out, we were talking about him as one of the next all-time greats.
Now, and I'll let you finish, but I got to check you now because you're wrong. Not about the SI thing with Greg Oden. The debate, if Greg Oden was so intensely discussed and propped up, we all said, or at least those of us who know basketball, that you draft Kevin Durant that draft, not Greg Oden. So right away, it's a totally different dissection.
It's not even comparable. For that conversation, Kevin Durant as well, after the rookie year, the difference with Kevin Durant was I don't think the lay fan knew Durant as well in high school, and he exploded on the scene at Texas. Oden, we'd been talking about for 3 years in high school, so when he did what he did, took Ohio State to the national championship game and lost.
Mike Conley was the best player on that team.
For sure.
Yes, but Greg Oden was a monster.
Yes, he came in as the top prospect. He came in as the guy. And when he was healthy, he was dominant for that team.
You didn't talk about Mike Conley on that team. You talked about...
Exactly.
I know what you're saying.
You definitely spoke more about Oden, but when you watched Ohio State play, it was more about Mike Conley.
And I think a lot of people who watched college basketball saw, okay, Kevin Durant was the better player, but Greg Oden was the better prospect coming in, and he did enough...
Forget about Greg Oden. Just get to your point.
But I'm just saying, there's enough guys that we talked about. Ben Simmons also, the way we talked about Ben Simmons after the freshman year that he had. True.
They went 14-15. They
agreed.
But think of how hyped he was.
He had an incredible year. He came into the year with an incredible, he was the number one prospect coming in.
Yeah, but you know why? You know why it wasn't about.
What are these guys watching? What are they listening to?
It's different. You're skewed to the bias that we watched, skewed to the reality of Zion Williamson's popularity. But what else did we talk about in college basketball?
This year?
What else did we talk about?
Talk about this year?
Yeah. Not us, but just in general. The college basketball watching world. What else did college basketball talk about? Because there's not a player. I promise you there's not a player that we talked about.
I mean, right? Moran obviously got a lot of love at the end, once you got to the NCAA tournament.
But there was nobody else we talked about.
Virginia win the championship? Yeah, I mean, a couple of stories. That's it.
Not really. It was about Zion. Nobody thought that Virginia was going to win the championship.
But it was about Zion.
People were hating on it when they were down to Gardner Webb at the beginning of the NCAA tournament.
They won by 15.
Yeah, you're right. But look, that was the ultimate story. But all season long, all we talked about was Zion Williamson.
That's what I'm saying.
It's because he was at Duke.
I agree.
And it's because we were talking about him since he was a sophomore in high school.
No, we weren't. People were watching him on YouTube.
They were.
You and I weren't talking about him on the show.
No, not us. No. Not national media.
No.
But if you're following college basketball, you've been talking about Zion Williamson for a long, long time. And it's the same thing.
He wasn't the top player in his class.
I know Zion Williamson wasn't, but he was a stud. He was a highlight machine.
He was a YouTube dunk freak machine.
Exactly. And so you're talking about him. You're talking just like you were talking about Andrew Wiggins, just like you're talking about Odom. It happens every single year. There's somebody that we get all hyped up about.
I can't co-sign that statement.
I'm just telling you, I think you are so wrong. Do you think Zion Williamson's turning into an NBA superstar?
That's not the discussion. Okay, That's not what I'm saying.
But it is the discussion because whoever drafts him, whichever one of those five, or maybe, I mean, it could be up to like eight teams, it could be more than five, sure. 6% chance.
Yeah, you got the Wizards, you got the Hawks, you got the Pelicans at 6%, a couple teams 1%. There it is.
Yeah.
It's not just the five teams.
You're right. And so whoever gets Zion Williamson, is he changing them to the point where they're viable for a championship in 3 years?
I might trade him. If the Knicks win it, I would actually make the trade for Anthony Davis. But again, those are two different discussions. What's going on? D-Cell, just say something intelligent real
quick
so we can move on.
My point is, these kids don't always pan out.
We get excited.
We get excited about them.
Of course.
We can't stop talking about
them. We don't get as excited about them as we do about this guy. That's my point. That's the point. That's the only point.
But we could also be very wrong.
True.
That's all I'm saying.
Oh, and I
temper it, because you could also be very wrong.
We could, but temper it. I'm talking about what's already transpired in the past. Like, there's nothing. The tempering should have been done
in real time. Tonight.
Yeah.
It's happening tonight. The NBA lottery is happening tonight. Whoever gets that first ball Or actually, it's the last
one. Yeah, you don't want to go with the first ball.
Exactly. Whoever gets that last ball in the lottery is their fan base and their social media.
It's going to go crazy.
It's going to be going insane. Yep. Right? And it's because of this guy. And I'm just saying, it's not necessarily going to mean that you're all of a sudden have found Nirvana.
D-Cell, 10 seconds.
I see Tiki's point. I don't think we've talked about anybody as much as we've talked about
that, but that's the only point that I brought to the table before it splintered into 5,000 different directions.
No, there was no 5,000 different points. I'm just giving other examples. Other examples of where we got all excited about a kid.
There is nobody that we have gotten this excited about except Patrick Ewing. Hmm. I mean, going back to Ewing. I mean, it's not like Andrew Wiggins. Are you seriously? Come on.
Andrew Wiggins won Rookie of the Year.
I'm not saying Andrew Wiggins isn't well, he's not as good as I thought he'd be. He's good. Yeah, I mean, even Jabari Parker, those guys. I get it. But really? Bennett got taken first overall a couple of years back.
2016.
Even DeAndre Ayton, we mentioned him. We like him. His PER was terrific. He put up big numbers. It was just always like a mention with him. Like, oh, yeah, DeAndre Ayton, he's interesting. Zion Williamson was the focal point of the basketball world for 6 months.
Yeah.
Because
there was nothing else to talk about.
855-212-4227. Here's a question for you, all right? And you and I can really delve into this coming up. If your team, whether it's the Knicks, Cavs, Suns, Bulls, Hawks, you want to go down as far as all the teams that actually have a percentage chance to land Zion, you could certainly do that if you want. But of all the teams that could land Zion Williamson tonight, if you do land him, would you trade him for Anthony Davis? Because that plays into what Tiki's saying about the uncertain crapshoot of the former first-round picks. Are you Ewing? Are you Shaq? Are you LeBron? Or are you Elton Brand or Brad Daugherty? Big difference. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Which to Geico, go to geico.com, but at 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, draft lottery night game, one of the Western Conference Finals at Oracle, Portland and the Warriors, Golden State 7.5-point favorites. So you got the lottery day 30, roll into game one. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM 206 on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, where you'll find our poll question. All right, so with the lottery tonight, if your team lands the number one pick, and you have access to Zion, would you trade the pick for Anthony Davis? Yes, AD is too good to pass up. He's an established superstar. No, Zion's younger and healthier. A couple of thoughts on that. Number one, I believe it's very market specific. If the Cavaliers were to get the number one pick again, if the Suns were to get it again, if the if the Hawks were to get it, and boy, I'll tell you, if you ever threw Zion Williamson with Trae Young and John Collins, who was really good, I mean, you got something that's percolating fast there.
Don't forget Vince Carter, who, by the way, I was confused
Vince
for.
The OG.
Yeah, he's 43, Vince Carter?
No, is he 43? Or is he, I think he's 41.
42. Whatever he is.
And he's in his 40s.
We went to Mother's Day 42. up Greenwood Lake. Somewhere it's in between Tracy's mom and us.
Okay,
so I walk in the door and this woman's like just staring at me. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, she's gonna ask Giants or something.
What do you think? You were a mini Vince Carter?
She said, are you Vince Carter?
Well, yeah, I'm like, I'm the 5'9" version of Vince Carter.
Like, do you know how tall Vince Carter? She never figured out that it was me.
Start signing some stuff.
No, I was like, do you know how tall Vince Carter is? And she's like, 6'1" or so. Uh-huh. Like, no, I'll try like 6'7".
Yeah, he's
still playing
there.
And he's in Atlanta.
He's still going. And
it was funny.
So, you know, I do think, like, if some of those teams, the Cavaliers, the Suns, the Bulls with Markkanen and Wendell Carter, they would keep Zion. I believe the only team that would even entertain trading Zion would be the Knicks. The Sixers, by virtue of some wacky 1% trade, Celtics, Sixers, it's all convoluted.
Yeah.
The Sixers can actually get that with a 1% chance. They might trade it as well. But in a weird way, if you're not, and I don't know that every front office is fully 1,000% Zion's the guy. Mm-hmm. You don't know that.
No, you're right.
I almost think, Teak, in
especially
a way.
In a guard league, and Ja did such an amazing job building his brand or building his his worth up in the NCAA tournament.
No question. I mean, think about all the best players in the game right now. Once you get past, you know, when you start ripping names off, whether it's Giannis, whether it's LeBron, whether it's Kevin Durant, everybody's big. You know, or, you know, bigger.
Yeah.
So you maybe have to factor that in. Zion's talents very well might transcend that trend and force you to take Zion. I get that. But what I'm trying to say is, in a weird way, for certain teams, and I think the Knicks are one of them, you might almost be lucky to get the second pick. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. Because if you want to trade for Anthony Davis, and I think the Knicks really would be tempted to do that, and I believe they would have the assets to do that at that point with Zion, Mitchell Robinson, Kevin Knox, and maybe a future first rounder. It's going to be very hard, even though you're getting possibly Durant, Anthony Davis, and Kyrie, to sell to the Knicks fans, we got Zion, now we're getting rid of him.
Well, that was going to be my question.
But at number two, you don't have to worry about that.
How unpopular is that going to be if someone decides to trade Zion Williamson right away?
Pretty unpopular, I mean, I would imagine.
Because, again, go back to the conversation we just had. It's all we talked about. If you watched any college basketball, even if you weren't watching Duke play, at some point you heard Zion Williamson's name.
Yep.
It's amazing. And even in the NCAA tournament, as you're watching the other side of the bracket, Zion Williamson's name comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a fan of the NBA, Zion is who you want. At least that's who you think you want, even if it doesn't necessarily fit with the, you know, like the scope of the where the team is right now. It's really interesting how this is going to
yeah,
play
it is.
Out. You think whoever gets the number one pick tonight, you think they give away what their thought process is? Is it guaranteed to be Zion Williamson? Is really the question.
That's a good question, because when the Knicks won it in 85, they said right there that at the podium, we're taking Ewing. Dave DeBuscher said that. I don't know. You know, that's a really interesting. I don't know that you divulge
because
that.
Because the you reason might wanna... you would is because, hey, somebody wants to come get him.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start negotiating now.
Well, the good thing is the draft comes before free agency, so any trade that you make could be independent of future acquisitions. You don't have to. It's not like you have. You say, well, you know, let us get, you know, players A and B and sign them, and then we'll deal with possibly trading. You're forced to, you know, look at a possible trade before that. Yeah, I don't know. I'll tell you, this is as unique a night maybe ever in the NBA. When you look at all the myriad possibilities, you know, and again, we focus, you know, certain teams, but just to restate this, if he goes to Atlanta, and Atlanta's got a 10.5% chance to
I
get
might
him.
I'd have to get some frequent flyer miles to Atlanta, because I'd have to go see
them
play.
Think about that
I'm
team.
I'm telling you, seriously.
Trae Young, John Collins, Zion. You know, if he's with Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter in Chicago, I mean, there's some really fascinating situations that could unfold there. Freddie's in Utah. Fred is on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Fred? How you doing today, buddy? What's going on?
Fellas, how are you?
We are well, man. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. It's been a while. I haven't been called because I had that crazy stuff going on in my life.
But yeah.
We're trying to get back to normal. But if Zion comes to New York, I would be just as happy as I was when we got Patrick Ewing. You know, I was Zion. I love AD, but he's on the bench, hurt a little too much for me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the fresh young body, and the way the style of the NBA is being played today, Zion would fit in perfectly.
Yeah, what I mean,
that's tough to dispute that. I mean, it is. Really is tough. I can see the other way for sure.
Well,
but it's hard to challenge what Freddie just said.
Appreciate you, Fred.
Thanks, Cole. Thanks
good,
for the Fred
and good
call.
Luck to your family out there. I know it's some difficult things going out in Utah, but look. How many teams play in the half court in the NBA right now? Like, that's what they do. No matter what happens, they're slowing the ball down, they're bringing it up, and they're setting something up, getting a two or three or whatever it is, and not many.
Half court?
Not many.
I mean...
And so Zion...
Think about the Sixers, back-to-back-to-back empty half court possessions. So you
right.
still have to do it
you're,
when you have to do it.
Yeah, but, I mean, they got outside of themselves because that's not what they do. Ben Simmons is always pushing the ball.
Trying to
get
downhill.
Trying to get
down.
No always. Doubt. So those last possessions that you're talking about, of course they failed because that's not what they do, right? So not a lot of teams play in the half court. And Zion, he's not a half court player. He is I want to be in transition. I'm coming at you full steam. There's a big body about to hit you. You're going to try to hit me and stop me, and I'm going to power through you. So, I mean, he kind of fits in a lot of systems. It's not like... You got to learn how to do this, this, and this. You got to do these back screens and then run around. It's not really all these things that he's going to have to learn.
Well, he's going to have to be
impactful right away.
Oh,
no,
right
of course,
away. Yeah.
Right away. To be impactful,
gotcha.
Right away.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I mean, I kind of buy what Fred's saying. Take Zion. You know, I know Anthony Davis is enticing because he's got MVP potential every year, but is also there's always that possibility.
That he misses his usual 15, 12, 12, 15, 18 games. Let me ask you this real fast. Durant, Kyrie, Anthony Davis. That team doesn't win a championship? I mean,
that's a lot.
You get a couple of shooters. I mean, I know it's a little easier said than done as I just build the team on the radio and on TV. But Kevin Durant, let me just say that again. Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, or Kemba. That doesn't win minimal 60 games?
Maybe.
First round, second seed?
Maybe, but I don't know if they win a championship.
Yeah, I mean, again, who there's a lot of player movement. Where's Kawhi go? What happens with the Lakers and LeBron? Do they get something? Does something incredibly unexpected happen? I get it. What does Philly do? We'll get to this story a little later. So there's a thought, there's a growing sentiment that the Sixers might engage the Lakers, although LeBron for Ben Simmons swap. So there's so many moving parts there. The Milwaukee Bucks, who are just getting started as a franchise, you would imagine they'll be in a real space. A meaningful space, championship space for the next 3, 4, 5 years minimum. The Celtics are interesting. The Denver Nuggets are just getting going. Portland gets a legit front court player. There's so many things that can happen. But at its core, Durant, Davis, Kyrie.
It's exciting as hell.
I would trade Zion in that scenario. I would. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up. Axe update, a little afternoon baseball, busy night in the NBA. Axe got you covered. Here's Rich Ackerman. Okay, Tiki and Tierney back here on a Lottery Tuesday. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Time now for the Game Plan for Success, brought to you by Napa. Take a look at the team that's doing their thing. And how about this? The Blazers managed to split the 4 games against the Warriors this season. In both of Portland's wins, they held Golden State to 34% and 29% from downtown, respectively. So they defended the stripe well below the Warriors' 38% on the season. Now, if they have any hopes of sticking around, the Warriors, they're going to have to continue to defend the 3-point line. Game 1 tonight, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. So you got the Western Conference Finals underway. Of course, tomorrow the Eastern Conference with the Raptors and the Bucks. Napa Auto Parts, the expertise and parts you need to help you keep your car on the road no matter how many miles it has. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Tiki and Tierney here on Tuesday, CBS Sports Radio. So I was talking to Teek before the break or during the break, the first break. I said, I'm not going to roll with tonight here. I said, Blazers getting 7.5. Now, there's 2 ways to look at this here.
Yeah.
All right?
It's a tough one, not for who's going to win, but if you're going to look at the line, it's interesting because as I described this, after game 5 in the Western Conference semi with the Rockets and the Warriors, after they beat them, KD's down, and they beat him still. Warriors are like, all right, Houston, we got you.
Despite the 7.5
you're
point
right,
Houston
matter.
Favor.
Yeah, exactly. We got you. We know this. Mm-hmm. We're in your head, right? And so you knew that was going to game 6, it was going to turn out that way. You hoped it didn't because you wanted to see 7, but whatever, it turned out that way. They don't have that psychological edge on Portland. But at the same time,
nor do they have a great personnel edge right now.
Not at all.
Kanter's going to get some points in the middle.
But it's going to be a war of the backcourt.
Oh, yeah.
And
best backcourt versus the second best backcourt.
How can you, with any type of certainty, say Portland's backcourt is going to play better than Golden State's backcourt in the East Western Conference final? You just can't.
You can't.
They might. It might happen, but I couldn't put money on it.
Well, I would think it's going to happen at least once or twice. And here's the thing. It doesn't have to fully happen to cover the 7.5.
That's a good point.
I mean, the Warriors could outplay their backcourt and you could still win.
Which is why we came to the consensus.
Kind of leaned toward the 7.5.
Portland
I'll probably
plus
take
7.5.
855-212-4227. We'll get these calls, Zion, and all the possible circumstances and the fallout from the lottery. But right now, time for a little inbounds, out of bounds. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, let's go here. Team Broncos added Joe Flacco, picked him up in a trade this offseason with the Ravens. Then drafted former Mizzou star Drew Locke in the second round. That was last month. However, Flacco isn't in a rush to groom his replacement.
I think that is like I said, it's kind of Rich's job, you know, and it's to be in that quarterback room and watch, and that's how you can develop. Listen, I got so many things to worry about. I'm trying to go out there and play good football. I'm trying to go out there and play the best football of my life. So as far as a time constraint and all that stuff, I'm not worried about developing guys or any of that. That is what it is. And like I said, I hope he does develop, but I don't look at that as my job.
Okay, very honest reaction there. And we'll determine if it's the right one. Inbounds, out of bounds here, Teak. Aging starting quarterback should be expected to teach the young new quarterback.
Out of bounds, man. I know you dumbed up. Samter, what are you thinking? This is your job. His job is to go out and try to win the job. He has an experience advantage. He has an X's and O advantage, right? He wants to win this job and continue to get paid to be a starting quarterback in the National Football League if, by osmosis or just being around, mm-hmm. Drew Locke learns some tidbits here and there and figures it out by observing, and he ultimately is the better quarterback, sure, go be it. But it's not Joe Flacco's job. This is very difficult. It happens every single year. It's almost a cliche. The old guy's got to mentor the young guy. No, he doesn't. The old guy's got to try to win the job. That's the best thing that can happen, actually, for the young guy, because you mm-hmm. learn about competition. You're not just handed it, and then you never get tested on a pro level. It's different in college, right? Best guy can kind of show up, and the coach has a favorite and says, you're going to play. We're going to make you into a star. It doesn't work that way in the NFL.
Listen, I'm a big believer in handing, passing it on to the next generation. I've always thought that. I've done a million journalism symposiums, where you go and you do a Q&A, and you talk about the merits of our job and what it takes to get there, and a common question I get a lot, when should I hire an agent? When you actually start making money, you don't need to hire an agent when you're working on the weekends and you're trying to hustle to get yourself in the door. And these are things that young broadcasters simply don't know. And I've always taken responsibility and great pride in helping them connect the dots. What I won't do, I won't show you how to do what I do. That's on you. Now, if you could do what I do and you could be better, go try to take my job. Just like I try to take people's jobs before me. It's the nature of attrition. It's the nature of the business. It is my job for my family to keep my job. It is somebody else's job to try to jump over me. That's the way the world goes. Now, my answer is out of bounds, but I don't believe in overtly ignoring or misleading. If it fits my time frame, and I sense you're a young kid, quarterback in this instance, that is really diligent and I like you, I'll throw you a bone here and there, but not at the expense of me. That's just the way it's got to be.
Are you in or are you out?
Okay, Teak, now, we discussed this yesterday. Michigan's looking for new head coach John Beilein with the Cavaliers. Maybe Beilein's going to have a shiny new toy. I hope not in Zion, but he's going to be coaching the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, retired point guards, our buddy Jay Williams, Rod Strickland, and Rod's been coaching a lot. Rod have both lobbied for the former Fab Five member Juwan Howard to get the gig. All right. However, Howard, who served as an assistant for the Heat since 2013, but putting in his time, is reportedly interviewing this week for the Timberwolves job. In or out, Juwan Howard should take the job at his alma mater rather than the T-Wolves position.
This was an interesting one to think about.
This was a tough one.
Because that job at Michigan is elite. It's a top job, one of the top jobs in the country. And
is it, or did Beilein make it that? I'm not so sure.
Well, he made it that. But think about it, though. You're in a big conference, mm-hmm. and if you win it, you're also challenging some really great coaches mm-hmm. in Izzo and others. And so, I mean, I'm going to say inbounds. Because I think there's something special about going back to your, especially if you want to be a coach, going back to your alma mater, helping those kids learn from what you went through, and he's going to be revered, and he's going to have time, I think, in order to try to win a championship. In the NBA, you have a couple really bad years. It's like, go be an assistant. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say inbounds. It's a tough one though.
It is very tough, and I'm certainly with you with the sentimentality aspect, pardon me. I'm a big believer in that, and I could see, if the finances were similar and I was staring at something, just knowing how I am, I very well might gravitate toward my alma mater. There's something to be said for that. I love it. You know how much I love Marist, and he loves Michigan. You love Virginia. It is what it is, but I'm going to say out of bounds here because he's been grinding for a long time, put it in the secondary market, if you will. And Patrick Ewing did this for a long time. Mm-hmm. And Juwan Howard And Patrick, my point, Patrick was never justly rewarded at the NBA level. He had to go to Georgetown to get the job, and he's actually proven to be a good coach. We had him, you know, we had him at the Final Four. We love Pat. Bring us luck tonight, Pat. Bring us luck, buddy. Don't lose again. Don't lose the big one again.
Oh, he's there, right?
He's on the dais. Don't lose the big one again. But here's the thing. Juwan Howard is different because Juwan Howard almost got, he was in play for the Knicks job before Fizdale. Like, he was kind of in the mix there. Mm-hmm. And I believe he is viewed a little differently than Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, he interviewed for Lakers
as well. The Lakers job. Juwan Howard, to me, is destined to be an NBA head coach. And I wouldn't, not that derails the rival, I wouldn't let Michigan get in the way of that. He's aspired to coach in the NBA. It's so obvious. Look at his resume. Mm-hmm. So I hear you. It's a tough call, but I'm going to say go to the NBA and give that your first crack.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teak. The Sixers lost in Game 7, of course, Sunday. Four hops and it went down. The corner buzzer bomb from Kawhi for the second straight season. All right, the Sixers now knocked out there in a Game 7. Many believe Brett Brown was on his way out the door, including our guest yesterday. That's analyst from Fox Sports, Chris Broussard.
Brett Brown will be gone. I would be shocked if he keeps his job, and here's why. The lack of execution of the Sixers down the stretch was abominable. I mean, it was terrible. All that goes to coaching. I think Brett Brown was great to this point of the process. Now, though, you need a coach that can take you to that next level.
Well, that coach isn't coming anytime soon for the Sixers. It looks like Brown will be back next season to coach Philly, try to finish the job here. All right, T, considering the team's various injury issues and midseason trades, Brown should not bear the brunt of the blame for the Sixers' failure this season.
Yeah, I'm going to say inbounds, and it's reluctant because I don't think that he is necessarily the right guy for the job there. It's been unimaginative offensively. We've talked about that all season long, but they also didn't have a lot of their starting lineup playing together for much of the season because of injuries and obviously the two midseason trades that brought Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. And so there was a chemistry failure there. I think some of the blame on Ben Simmons not developing is somewhat on him, but it can't be fully on him. And then Joel Embiid in the postseason being sick. So it's hard to like really put it all on coaching. So I'm going to say inbounds, but this is again, another very tight one to being the other way.
Yeah, I think the way they performed in Game 6, too, and I said this on Friday, you were out. And
great point. This is a great point. Yeah, I think you're right.
I think that's safe. If they would have been blown out, if they would have been an ugly loss in Philly, I think he's gone. Aesthetics, the optics would have been too bad there. If they would have lost by a wide margin on Sunday, I don't believe he would be back. It helps when your best player is lobbying for you, as Joel Embiid is. I like Brett Brown. I do not believe he's a next-level head coach. So with all due respect, I say out of bounds. I believe that he should bear most of the brunt more than others. This was a tough one. If I owned the Sixers, I would make a change. That's the best way to put it.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teague, about this. Tropicana Field and the Coliseum in Oakland here, considered two of the worst stadiums in all the sport. Now, the Trop, which has the hanging catwalk and lights that often alter balls in play, lost power for 43 minutes over the weekend. The Yankees and the Rays. Come on, what are you doing to our Yankees here? Let's go. The Coliseum, known to flood, sewage in the dugout. Yeah. I mean, it's disgusting.
Yep.
Makes its way onto the field. Could be seeing maybe its last days. Now, the city of Oakland yesterday actually approved the waterfront site for a new A stadium. Look at it this way. That's probably a single if you try to score a run. That is step one of them getting in. It's not a home run, but it's obviously a good step in the right direction. In or out, the Coliseum is a worse stadium than the Trop.
I'm going to say out of bounds for a myriad of reasons. One, those catwalks and lights, they're in play. So if the ball hits one of them and it falls, say it's a home run and it hits the light and comes back, you can catch it and it's still loud.
It's ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous. But more importantly for Tampa, we've hit this multiple times, BT. It's in a horrible location. You got to go over that big bridge and go on into the peninsula, and it's impossible to get to.
Yep.
And so that's why the fans don't want to trek out there. If they built it closer, built a new one closer to actually downtown Tampa, I think they'd get a lot of fans there. I'm going to say out of bounds.
I'm sorry, T. I'm going to focus less on the location. Now, I'm not saying that you're wrong, but I'm going to focus more on the actual body of the buildings here. They stripped away the soul of the Oakland Coliseum when they built Mount Davis because it obscured the Oakland Hills, the view of the Oakland Hills, which is actually really pretty. Mount Davis is a bit of an eyesore out there. It's dank. It's cold. It's brutal, man. I'm not saying the Trop is gorgeous, but at least you go to a game at the Trop and you know it's going to smell decent, and you're not going to get wet, and you're not going to get sick. I mean, it's splitting hairs because they both stink, but I'll say the Trop is marginally better.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.